The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
I know we probably are all very much aware of the fact that Israel crossed through the Red Sea on dry ground, leaving Egypt behind on the last day of unleavened bread. And we say, yeah, but you're getting ahead of yourself. And I am, because this is the first day of unleavened bread. So with that in mind, let me ask you a question. Do we know the purpose of the Exodus from Egypt? I mean, what I'm referring to is, why did Israel leave Egypt? They started out this day, the first day of the days of unleavened bread. They travel for the next 7 days. They crossed over on the last day. But why did they leave Egypt? If you said something like it was, well, to free the Israelites from slavery, or to save them from oppression and suffering, then you are probably in alignment with about 99% of the people who would be asking and answering this question. Yet, of course, we want to know what God would say. How would He answer this particular question? And the fact is, He did give the answer. I have entitled this message for the first day of unleavened bread as being, Why Israel Left Egypt. So, for us to see God's answer, I want you to go with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 6. Exodus 6, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1. Exodus 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shall you see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his hand. And God spoke unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But my name, Jehovah, that's the I am in Exodus 3, but by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan and the land of their pilgrimage where they were strangers. And I have heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant, meaning this covenant back with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Wherefore, or therefore, Moses, I'm reading in words, but this is what it is. Therefore, Moses say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage. And pay attention to the how many, and I will do this, and I will do this, and I will do this. And I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which brings you out from under the bondage of the Egyptians. And I will bring you unto the land concerning the which I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an inheritance or a heritage. I am the Lord. So why did God deliver them out of Egypt? Well, obviously, we could say there's a lot of different things. God brought Israel out of Egypt to create a relationship with His chosen people, the children of Israel, that He started back with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God wanted a relationship. You will be my people and I will be your God. Brethren, that is a relationship. This is very, very special. He isn't saying this to anyone else. And so let's remember, God promised to make Abraham's seed his people and to give them a land. So go with me to the book of Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12 verse 1. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get you out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house into a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Brethren, let's also remember Abraham's seed, the children of Israel, had lived in Egypt for some 430 years, and of course not all of that time as slaves. Now, if you would, please go with me to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus 1, we're going to read verses 7 through 13, and I'm going to read these verses from the New International Version. Exodus 1, verse 7. But the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful, and they multiplied greatly, increased in numbers, and became so numerous that the land was filled with them. Isn't that an awesome statement, you know, to talk? I mean, just the way it's described. Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, or in the King James says, who knew not Joseph, came to power in Egypt. Verse 9, look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, will join our enemies and fight against us and leave the country. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithon and Ramesses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and work them ruthlessly. Israel was now slaves. Now remember, God wanted to create a relationship with his true people, Israel. And for God to do this, first of all, he had to reveal himself to them. Now remember, we just saw that this, he said it back in Exodus 6 and verse 3, that he appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by name Jehovah, the I Am, the ever-living one, was I not known to them. Please also understand, for God to reveal himself to his people, he revealed of who he is under that name. This is the name of God. Also understand, that was the purpose of the 10 plagues. So you will know that I am God. And brethren, let's appreciate the fact and understand that each one of the 10 plagues revealed some aspect of the point that God is in total control. He is sovereign. He is Jehovah, that I am. There is no one else. This is a major lesson that we are to learn from the days of unleavened bread and from Israel being delivered from Egypt. Let's talk a little about two of the plagues, just to make a point. For example, the plague of lice. This was the first one that the magicians or the sorcerers could not duplicate. This showed that God had control over even the tiniest creatures. Exodus 8 and verse 18. Exodus 8, verse 18. And the magicians or the sorcerers did so with their enchantments to bring lice, but they could not, so there were lice upon men and upon beasts. God's in charge. Now let's look at the plague of hail. Exodus 9 and verse 24. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, so there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. This fire flaming amid the hail, as it is actually translated, which is probably closer to the actual Hebrew in the Orthodox Jewish translation. This shows that while these pagan Egyptians had a different god for each natural force, the one and only true God, the God of Israel, controlled all, even competing forces like the rain and the lightning. This relationship that God was establishing with Abraham's seed, these slaves, the children of Israel, was a relationship of love. Therefore, he had to show them that he saw and he cared about their affliction. In other words, the Israelites had to feel taken care of by God. We're told that he does take care of us. We're the people of God today. It's over in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, where he says, casting all your cares upon me, for he cares for you. In essence, that's the same thing that he was telling the Israelites. But all these things that he's doing, because again, remember, what is the purpose? To establish this relationship, and this is a relationship of love. So we also need to remember the relief from the suffering, their freedom from their slavery, was not the goal of the Exodus. Now, having said that, we also all realize that it was necessary to deliver them out for the purpose of establishing a relationship, the true goal of the Exodus. I think most of us can identify with the black slaves in our U.S. history, with the slavery and liberation, with the slavery and the liberation of the children of Israel. Yet what we need to understand is there is a vast difference. The difference is when Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation that freed the black slaves, his purpose was to free them from slavery, not to establish a relationship with them. That is huge whenever you really understand there is a great difference between the two. Both were bad, but one had a totally different purpose. So please know, brethren, with God, the greatest good is not relief from suffering, but rather a joining or a connecting and a relationship with God that often does involve some degree of suffering. This is what, to use a modern term, this is what separates the men from the boys. I don't want to have suffering. I don't want God to deal with me this way. God's purpose in creating the world was in order to have a relationship with human beings, with mankind. Go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. You know this verse, but let's read it in this context. Genesis 1 verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And now go to chapter 2, Genesis 2 and verse 7. I'm going to read this one out of the NIV. Genesis 2 verse 7, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. God wanted a relationship. He wanted this family. He created the angels. He created all the physical stuff. He created man to have a relationship, an intimate relationship between God and between humanity. And brethren, since there are only two states of being, and I'm limiting it, I'm narrowing it all down to these two things. One, a state of being joined together. And number two, a state of being separated. And being joined or connected to God means being joined or connected to our wife and our husband or our parents and our children and our friends and our neighbors. Because you see, God is establishing a relationship and He wants to establish this relationship even among ourselves. That point is the purpose of life and also the purpose of the Exodus. Relationships. So another major lesson that we can learn from the Exodus and the days of unleavened bread is learning to trust God in everything. Because you see, from God's first revelation to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, God made it clear Israel's redemption did not mean slavery to freedom. Well, of course it was going to include slavery to freedom. It also meant an actual geographical relocation from Egypt to the promised land as He had promised to Abraham. He's still telling them. He's establishing this relationship. Later, and I am jumping ahead, when the children of Israel were on the border of the land of Israel, ready to enter into the land, go with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11. God said something to them here. Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 10. For the land where you go in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence you came out, where you sowed your seed and watered it with foot as a garden of herbs. But the land where you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys and drinks water of the rain of heaven. And of course, I think we all understand, we have the realization that the Nile River watered Egypt and sustained its agriculture. It was in that sense right along the Nile River, easy to grow things. Egypt had, at that time, an elaborate irrigation system operated by foot. In verse 10, we just read, watered it with your foot. That's what he's referring to. They had this system. It was well advanced. And Egypt used this reliable water source, the Nile, to feed the population for all the crops to grow and all of that. Then God tells us, on the other hand, Israel, the promised land, depends on rain. And I think we all understand and we all know that rain is unpredictable. What I mean by that is knowing exactly when it will fall, or where it will fall, or how much will fall, and whether it will fall as a gentle rain that is easily to be absorbed by the earth, or whether it is a gust that will flood and cause damage. All of these are unpredictable. Nile-like consistency offers an illusion of control. And that's all that it was. However, the truth is, life is unpredictable. and no one knows really what will happen tomorrow. Therefore, as believers, our coming to admit that there are uncertainties in our lives will lead us to acknowledge our total dependency upon God. And that, brethren, is true spiritual freedom, which is a major lesson of the days of unleavened bread. Israel never really got it. So another lesson that we can learn from the Exodus is learning to trust God in everything. Another lesson that we can learn from the days of unleavened bread and Israel's deliverance from Egypt is we must never give up hope. As we know, Egypt was a superpower. In fact, Egypt was the superpower. There was no one else at that time. And yet this oppressive government had absolute control. It had absolute control of life and death of its people, including Israel. Go to Exodus 1, verse 22. From the NIV, Exodus 1, verse 22. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. Wow. The Israelites lived in Egyptian slavery for many years. And it started with an order of genocide. An order to throw all the boy babies into the Nile River. Apparently, this torture and oppression continued the entire time that Israel were slaves in Egypt. So by the time God appeared to Moses at the burning bush, that generation had lived their entire lives under the whip, under the total control of the Egyptians. To them, and we see this, to them their only hope was that there would be a new government that would lighten up their load, lighten up their burdens. Yet we see that when the reigning Pharaoh died, his successor was just as cruel and just as oppressing. Exodus 1 and verse 8, NIV. Then a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing came to power in Egypt. Exodus 2, 23, the NIV. During that long period, the king of Egypt died, and the Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help became, because of their slavery, went up to God. But what they had been asking for, what they were hoping for, that a new king would come in, a new Pharaoh would come in and lighten their burden. But the Christ came up to God. The Israelites finally realized something. They realized their only hope was God. And so they cried out to God in hopelessness. And brethren, believing in God shows us there is no situation, there is no diagnosis, there is no military threat that is beyond God's control. He is sovereign. He is the I Am. This is a lesson of the days of unleavened bread and the story of Israel being delivered from Egypt. And of course, we know enough about the story to know that God immediately responded by appearing to Moses and promising them deliverance, being redeemed, meaning bought back. Remember what the purpose was? To have a relationship. Exodus chapter 3, Exodus 3, verse 7. Exodus 3, verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt and have heard their cry by reason of their slave masters or their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land, into a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the affliction wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Again, what God is stating here is that he wants this relationship. That's what he is talking about. Whenever it was, I'm going to bring them out because I want to be their people, and I'm going to be their, they will be my people, and I will be their God, and I want to take them to this promised land. This is their land. I'm going to take care of them here. I have a relationship with them. That's a major, major point. So when Moses returned to Egypt with this great news of deliverance, what he found was a broken and hopeless people. They wouldn't even believe him. So God performed miracles and wonders. And then through all of that, which I'm not rehearsing in this particular message, then about 10 months later, they were freed. This mighty Egyptian superpower was reduced to rubble. While the Israelites walked out carrying the riches of Egypt like payment for their enslavement and bondage. This wealthiest nation on the earth handed over their riches to the Israelites. Exodus chapter 12. Verse 36. I'm going to read this in the New King James Version. Exodus 12:36. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And the Lord gave the children of Israel favor in the sight of the Egyptian people. Wow. So that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered, therefore Israel plundered the Egyptians. It says that in the NIV and in the New American Standard Bible and several others. The King James Version says, and they spoiled them. A point that we need to remember is God is not limited by nature. Therefore, we must realize no situation, no diagnosis, no military threat is beyond God's control. And brethren, as a result of the knowing that, because this is that relationship that he is establishing with his people, therefore we need to realize and see there is no room for hopelessness or despair in a God-run world. I mean, let's please realize, salvation can come in the blink of an eye. And the proof is the Exodus from Egypt. Go with me to Exodus 12, verse 40. Exodus 12 and verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass. On the exact day 430 years later, when they entered into 430 years later, on the first day of the days of unleavened bread, they are leaving. On the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the children of Israel went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel and their generations. And brethren, that is exactly what we all did last night. Verse 51. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. So, brother, what we see is that God used the blood of the Passover lamb to deliver his people from bondage in Egypt, pointing forward to another Passover lamb that would deliver people, not from physical slavery, but from spiritual slavery to sin. And the purpose for both of these deliveries? Because of the awesome and powerful and loving and merciful God, he desires to have a relationship with all of those who choose to follow his way of life. He wants to have a relationship with all of those who choose to come to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Brethren, when we really get down to it, this is the reason why the children of Israel were brought out of their Egyptian bondage. This is also why we are delivered from our personal bondages. And brethren, all of this is pictured through the 7 days of unleavened bread. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We are part, brethren, we are blessed, and we are part of that relationship. We are part of the people upon whom God is today delivering us out of our spiritual bondage and is establishing that relationship with us. Happy 7 days of unleavened bread.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.